strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all. My strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all.
We'll keep it in the same key of G. We just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord this evening. We hope that you've come to just take a moment and just listen to the word and just set aside everything that's been going on this week. So, but before we have Brother Barry come out, we'll just sing a few songs. So, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes
prophets. Ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Is in Jesus my Lord wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? One more time. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Now there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sleep. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the well he walked in sea. Now there are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at the meeting in the air. Let's speed it up. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. Will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Many things will there be missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. Now there is going singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. There the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the aches will be busy far away.
there the saints will have his seal upon their foreheads. Dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at the meeting in the air. Now there is going to be a meeting in the air. And that sweet, sweet by and by, I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Oh, such singing you will hear. Heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Now I am one of the few, oh, one of the few, and by faith in God's word I can claim it. Though the opposition's strong, for the bride there's a way provided. And if I plan to go through, just to hope will not do. I must be firmly decided. Those who follow the Lord by obeying His word and believe that I'm one of the few. God's word I claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition's strong, for the bride there's a way provided. And if I plan to go through, just to hope when I do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying. God's word I claim it. Though the way may seem long, though the opposition's strong, for the bride there's a way provided. If I plan to go through, just to hope when I do, I must be firmly decided to follow the Lord by obeying His word. Change the order of our service this evening. Let's sing that song, We Need You, Lord, just before we take our prayer request this evening. So we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. Sister Becky. We'll go ahead and take our needs before the Lord this evening. And once I finish, if I could have the ushers come forward, and we'll take up our tithes and offering as well. We just want to remember Brother Jeremy Sheffield, who is not able to be with us this evening. So we just want to remember that need. Just remember Peter and Rachel, who are not with us tonight as well. Remember Brother Tom and Sister Kim as well. Brother Troy and Sister Connie are away, so just remember them, that the Lord will be with them, as well as the Stevens are in Georgia visiting, so we just want to remember that need. The Parks are currently traveling in France, so we just want to remember them as well. Continue to remember Sister Lori Snow, who is recovering, so we just want to remember that need, as well as Sister Lee Mail's sister. We just want to remember her as well. I also was told coming in to service just to remember my Aunt Amber. She's currently in the process of doing some moving, so just sorting some things out there, so just remember her. And just remember my Aunt Karen as well. She's not feeling very well, so just remember that need. But that is all the spoken prayer requests I have. We all have our own needs, though, that we need a touch from the Lord. So just hold that close to your heart. Ushers, if you would come forward at this time. And Brother Josh, if you would come and pray at this time.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful, Lord, for this evening, Lord, to be able to gather in your name, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you just forgive us, Lord, of anything that we may have done, Lord, to offend you, Lord, today. And we just want to place that under the blood, Lord, this evening, Lord, so we can speak to you, Lord, and to talk to you, Lord, what's on our hearts. And Lord, we don't want to be in the way, Lord, to hinder these needs, Lord, that need a touch from you, Father. God, we pray you just can anoint them, Lord, and get them back here safely, Lord. We pray, God, and Lord, tonight you would just be with the speaker, Lord. Be with the word, Lord, as it comes forth. May you just plant that seed in our heart, Lord, and water it, Lord, for this week and for the week ahead, Father. Pray, God, you just bless these tithes and offerings, Lord, tonight. May you just use it, Lord, for your kingdom, Lord. Bless the gift and the giver, Lord. We love you. We ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song just as Brother Barry comes. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, I think in D. So open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To listen.
Prayer tonight. God bless you. We welcome all of you to the house of the Lord. We're going to go to prayer tonight, especially on behalf of Sister Carrie Whitlock's father. And he has a surgery tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. in Roanoke at the Hearts Center there. And it's a very serious situation. And we just really want to pray that the Lord will guide the hands of the doctors and allow the operation to be a success. He's at a point where he's got to do something, and he's had heart issues before, and they're going to do a complex operation tomorrow morning, so we sure want to remember that need in prayer. And whatever need that you have tonight, and I believe that as long as we're in these bodies, we'll have needs, we'll have burdens and concerns. And so you've come to the right place, you're giving them to the right person. So let's do that tonight. Let's sing first. There is none like you, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. One more time. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts before you tonight, we just want to say, first of all, that we thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the mercies you have extended to us. None of us were deserving of those mercies, Lord. And yet your mercies are new every day, and we can enjoy the bounty, Lord, of your presence in our lives. I pray now you'd have your way. I pray you'd encourage every heart. And I ask, oh God, that you would just come and just take these words of mine, Lord, and do that supernatural part that only you can do between the pulpit and the pew. And Lord, place the word in every heart. Encourage those that are discouraged, Lord. Bring answers to those that are seeking your will. Bring healing because you're a healer. And Lord, guide us in truth because that was your promise. Have your way now, we pray. We ask, Lord, that you would minister especially to Brother Dale Bragg, and we commit him into your hands, Lord, and ask that you would minister to him. Guide the hands of the doctors and nurses, Lord, that will perform that surgery in the morning, and we just place him into your hands now. We know, Lord Jesus, that you care about your children. And Brother Branham taught us, Lord, that we could never pray too much. And so we join our hearts together now in faith and believing that you're going to see him through. Have your way, Lord, we pray, and touch Sister Carrie as well. And we commit our ways into your hands now tonight in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And amen. And all God's people said, amen. Let's take your Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And we also want to have tonight's service. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2. So we're going to go to two places, Matthew chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to read, first of all, in Hebrews, the second chapter. So if you could find that one for me, that would be great. If you have it, say amen. And if you love your Bible, say amen. All right, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Paul is actually quoting different places in the Old Testament here. And he's quoting in verse 12 there, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, here's a different one, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. Now, I want to take that little verse there in verse 12, where Paul uses this word, verse 13, I will put my trust in him. And that's a theme we've been working on. But go to Matthew chapter 3, if you will, and we'll read there as well. Now, we welcome all of you to the house of the Lord and appreciate you coming out on a Wednesday night. I know things are lively through the week, and I appreciate you all being here. We are honored to have the Milans here from New Zealand. And they have arrived and came over for Sister Esther's graduation. Sister Esther, put your hand up there. There you go. And she graduated from BAO this year, and we are honored to have her with us graduating. And the Milans are staying at our home for a couple of days. And we just honored to have them. Good to have, I know you, don't I? Mitchell and Megan back. Good to have them back with us. Sister Tracy, God bless you. Good to have you back as well. And each and every one, may the Lord bless you. Appreciate it. Sister Keisha, good to have you back as well. Good to have all of you. Isn't it good to be here? It's just good. It's just good. All right. Now, I'm going to do something a little different tonight, but you've heard that before. And I want to go back and I want to talk a little bit about some things that we discussed last Wednesday night. And so I want you to stay with me here, especially the beginning and the end. What you do in the middle is entirely up to you. We talked a little bit about this subject of trust, and this is a banner. It's a flag that we fly as the people of God. We're the people of the end time. We're the people of the open book. And we believe that God has done a great thing in our day. And we also, too, are counting on the fact that everything that God said about the end time will indeed come to pass, and that God will one day take his church out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. We are counting on that. We're not just counting on it because it sounds good. We are a people who look at things by faith, and by faith we believe God's going to take the church and bypass death and bring them into glory, and there we will live eternally with him. And so we are excited about that. And all of the teaching, all of the lessons that we learn all help us to build faith towards that promise and towards that outcome, and help us to align ourselves with his perfect will. You remember I said last Wednesday, Bruce Samuel reminded me of the comfort of this statement here, that God's will is perfect and everything will fall right in place if you'll stay in God's will. That's a powerful thing for him to say that. I think he's absolutely correct in saying everything will fall into place. It may not fall into place immediately, and it may not fall into place according to your plan, but your plan is insignificant compared to God's plan. And so you want to focus on God's will. And all these Wednesday nights we've been talking about, if I was this and if I was that and if I was something else, it's all about knowing and understanding what God's will is and then falling into that. We want to follow that. We want to pursue that. And sometimes it's amazing how something really small, like Achan's wedge, could throw yourself and like consequently even your family can throw them all out of the will of God, and cause detrimental outcomes. And so if we find ourselves out of place, and that's why ministry preaching like this is, in a sense, proactive, because It should encourage us to examine ourselves and look at ourselves according to the Word and say, you know what? I did that wrong. I believed that wrong. And we want to repent for that, make it right. If we offended somebody, we want to make that right. If we said something incorrect, we want to make that right, because you'll never go no farther till you make that thing right. The whole goal of the bride is to go farther. We don't want to stay here. As good as it is, we don't want to stay here. As comfortable as this church is, we don't want to stay here. We want to go, right? And so there's going to be little things that hold people back. And I don't want to fall into that category. I want to go home. Now, enough of the preamble. D.L. Moody was quite an extraordinary minister. He came from an extraordinary conversion in a shoe store. And became a man who was mightily used of God out of Chicago. And even today, the Moody Institute is a beacon of light for a lot of people. And they still do lots of good things there in Moody's memory. And he was certainly a person who was pretty extraordinary in his teaching, in his ministry, in his presentation. Well-known, well-loved, and well-respected. Let me tell you something you probably don't know about D.L. Moody. He had a son by the name of Willie. And Willie remembers this about his father. And he wrote a little biography one time about his father. And he said that one time he was in bed, just had gone to bed, just as a young guy, like in his early teens. And D.L. Moody came in and just poked his head in his bedroom door and said, "You awake?" And he said, Willie said to him, "Yeah." He said, "I had to come in and talk to you before I went to bed." He said, "I couldn't go to sleep without talking to you." He said, "Okay." Thought he was in trouble. And D.L. Moody leaned over to him and he said, "I am really sorry I lost my temper." And he said, "I just wanted to make that right before you went to bed." And he began to talk to him and so forth and talk about how bad that he felt. Willie wrote his father a letter later on. And this is what he wrote. "Other kids tell me that they cannot go to their dads and just talk and hope to be understood. They say they can't because their dads are always right. And they, the teller, are always wrong. And they can't talk to their dads the way I can talk to you. I could always talk to you and you always understood. There was nothing I could not tell you." Now that's a great testimony for a father to say that about his son. Now, you say, what's the point? The point is that for me, I say lots of things here. I say lots of things from the pulpit. And I say lots of things that sometimes I make assumptions that everyone understands what I'm saying. And in my mind, it might be a clear communication, but in reality, it's not. Now, last Wednesday night, I made one of those mistakes. And I'm slipping into your room tonight and asking you to forgive me, just like D.L. Moody. And what I said was last Wednesday night when I showed this picture here, and all I was doing was encouraging the congregation about water baptism and the number of kids who are getting baptized and so forth. And by the way, we're going to be baptizing again this Sunday, and we're excited about that. But I showed this slide last Wednesday night, and I just made a reference and said, "Now just disregard the picture. Jesus wasn't baptized." And several of you, not all, but no, not just a single person, said to me, "You said Jesus was not baptized. And yet the Bible says he was." And my first reaction was, "I didn't say that." And then I went back and listened to what I said. And I indeed did say that. Now, later on, I kind of qualified that, but the initial statement was, and now I can see all the other people who heard it and didn't say anything. Now, let me go back to Willie's statement here and say this again. "They can't talk to their dads the way I can talk to you. I could always talk to you. You always understood. There was nothing I couldn't tell you." And I want to say this to you in all seriousness, that if there's ever anything I say that you don't understand, you are welcome to come to me and say, "I didn't understand that. What does that mean? You know, Brother Bram said this," or something else, because I'm not perfect, neither am I infallible. And sometimes I go too fast. My mouth is not fast enough for my mind. And sometimes my mouth is faster than my mind. And I don't remember all like I used to remember. And sometimes I have it all sorted out when I'm in there. But when I come out here, it's a different atmosphere. And so I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm not making excuses here. I'm just asking you to forgive me. Now, this quote is about baptism and how Brother Branham baptized some of his children, his family, and so forth. But Jesus was indeed immersed in the River Jordan. He was baptized by John, and the Bible tells us so. Take your Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. So I thought in my apology tonight, rather than just say I'm sorry, I thought I would use this as an opportunity to teach a little bit about baptism. Okay? And we'll go through it, and I'll explain what I meant when I made that statement that Jesus was not baptized. Now, in Matthew chapter 3, let's take a look at a passage here. This is the familiar story of John the Baptist in the high point of his ministry. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." His message was one of repentance. And that's all he preached. He was like Noah. He was on a track. And he preached repentance to everybody. And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." The same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and it describes him, describes his person, and so forth. And it says that all the people came out of Jerusalem and Judea, six, and they were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, again, that's what he did, okay? That's what he was called to do. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance." Baptism is not a get-out-of-jail card, right? It is the beginning of something, and what John is saying is exactly right, that when somebody is baptized and commits their life to Christ and actually is repentant of their sins, there should be fruits of that repentance. And that's what John is saying to these religious leaders. And without reading all of it, let's read verse 11. "And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I." Now, John knew that the Messiah would come in his day. John knew that. It was unclear about how this is going to happen and so forth, but he just knew. And this was his message, that I'm baptizing, but there's a greater baptism that's coming, "whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor." And a fan, in this case, is a separator. "And will gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This will go all the way to the judgment in terms of the plan of God. Verse 13, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him." Because here's Jesus walking into the water. John realizes who it is. And he says, "I have need to be baptized of thee. And comest thou to me?" You're coming to me like everybody else here. But he said, "I have need of being baptized of thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Suffer it to be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now what's going on here? And we see that only this conversation is known of John and Jesus, and God is watching over it. Because the moment he's baptized, there is an event that takes place in the heavens. Now, in order for us to really understand what happens here, we got to take out some of the tools out of the toolbox. Now, the tool that I want to use tonight is the book of Leviticus. Oddly enough. Now, many people, when they decide in the beginning of a year that they're going to read their Bible through this year, yes, this is going to be the year I'm going to read my Bible through, very often they get as far as Leviticus. Because they can handle Genesis, and they like the initial part of Exodus, and they'll come to Leviticus and go, whoa. So let me say a few things about Leviticus, and then we're going to dig a little deeper into Leviticus, because I have found it's an absolutely great book. It is absolutely a fascinating book. And I want to just say in a casual way, first of all, that the book of Leviticus really outlines three things that are important for the Jewish people as they read through the book. But you will find that it is also pertinent to you. And that is there are rituals that God put in place. There are things that he said, I want you to do this. This is how I want you to set up the tabernacle. This is how I want you to prepare an offering and so forth. And then the second thing that he said, there's going to be a priesthood. And in this priesthood, these are going to be people who are going to be anointed, called to do a specific job to intercede between God and the people. And we're going to talk about that priesthood in the book of Leviticus. And then the third thing is there are all kinds of things that God says about purity. The whole book of Leviticus is divided into those three parts: the rituals that God gives, the priesthood, and that includes the offerings, and then also the purity that is required, because God did not want you to go into his presence or barge into his presence without being pure according to his definition, not yours. And you know what? That's still true. Now, you remember before that I told you that all the Old Testament laws, all 600 of them, 600 and something of them, are divided into three categories, right? There's the moral law, and there's the ceremonial law, and there's the dietary law, right? You remember that? And the Levitical writing here has a lot to do with that moral law. There's a lot of it that's real common sense. You'll see that in just a moment here. And then right smack in the middle of the book of Leviticus is the story or the telling of the Day of Atonement. And that was the big one. That was the big feast that God wanted the children of Israel to observe. And in that time, we're going to kill two goats, and we're going to take the blood of one, put it on the altar, and we're going to lay our hands by the high priest on the other one and send them off into the wilderness, and he'll be called a scapegoat. Now, that's a big thing in the book of Leviticus. It's kind of right in the middle here. But it's very precise and detailed because God wanted the children of Israel to know that I care about even the littlest of details that are in your worship. We're not just out here kind of doing your own thing. And I will guarantee you that it's a very small step for me to take now and say, neither are we in the message kind of doing our own thing and doing what feels good whenever we like. God has laid down through the message of the hour and through the opening of the word very specific things that he wants us to do. He wants us to begin by getting baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he outlines things that should happen in our lives. And it's very important that we do that because all of us want to get in, right? We want to get into the right place. We're going to have to go through a process. And it isn't just water baptism, but water baptism begins that process. And then there's all kinds of things that follow that. Are we okay? Now, it's interesting that when you look at the book of Leviticus, it says in chapter 1, verse 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. God is speaking and Moses is outside the tabernacle. When you go to Numbers 1 and 1, the Bible says differently. It says the Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation. Inside, say inside. So he was outside in the book of Leviticus, but now he's inside. You know why? Because he came through what God required in the book of Leviticus. So if you want to get in that secret place with God, if you want to get in that tabernacle with God, come through what God requires. Okay? Is that all right? Now, if you don't mind, take your Bible, go back to Leviticus chapter 19, keep your finger wherever your finger was, and let's go to Leviticus chapter 19. I just want to show you a little something here in relation to the moral law. And I could pick lots of different chapters here to illustrate this point. But let's take a look here in Leviticus chapter 19. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And we find in verse 3, Leviticus 19, verse 3, you shall fear every man his mother and his father. Fear means respect. And everybody who's not a mother and a father said, everyone said, amen. I mean, Paul takes that and brings it right over to the New Testament, right? Well, let's go. And keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods, in verse 4. In verse 5, And if ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. In other words, listen, if I'm having to make you do something, if I'm having to make you worship, we've missed the point. If I have to guilt you into paying your tithes, we've missed the point. It should be coming from in here. Our worship should be coming from in here. Our service should be coming from in here. Our obedience should be coming from in here. Not from here, but from in here. Are we okay? And that's exactly what we teach as well. Verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, ye shall not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Huh, remember Ruth? They were gleaners in the field, in the corners. So the Jews kept these laws. Verse 11, ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Huh, do we find that in the New Testament? Absolutely, because that's a moral law. 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. That's cheating. 14, thou shalt not curse the deaf nor put a stumbling block before the blind. It's terrible. Imagine, think of the imagery. You shall not put a stumbling block before the blind. Now think of the message here that God's trying to give to us. That for somebody who doesn't know, you shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of them because they could trip over the wrong thing. That's why, you know what? Let's say you shouldn't be in here in church, huh, and singing in the choir and go to your school and smoke. You're putting a stumbling block in front of somebody because you're claiming on the one hand, I'm a Christian and I'm in the message, you know, and yet you're putting a stumbling block in front of somebody. Hello? Can I go a little further? I am and I will. Verse 15, you shall do no right, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. That's the book of James. 16, thou shalt not go up and down as a... Who knew that was in the Bible? Who knew that was an Old Testament? Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. You know what a talebearer is, don't you? 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. And thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, neither bear any grudge. You mean I can't? No, they couldn't in the Old Testament. And Jesus brings this out in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, all the way out here. But he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Jesus quoted this. Are we okay? 28. Thou shalt not take any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. Ah, who knew the Bible had anything to say about tattoos? 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. Oh, but Harry Potter's all right. Should I not have said that? Or the vampire series. But anyway, let's go on. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them, because you will be. I am the Lord your God. Look, folks, these are things said to people who don't have the Holy Ghost. And God is warning them specifically, categorically, because they're going to defile you. Hey, come on. Common sense would tell you, if you have the very life of Christ or the life of the author who wrote this, in you, shouldn't there be a check on some of the things that people find acceptable or are normalized today? I don't care how normalized it is. If it's contrary to Scripture, you should have something rise up in you that says, no, can't do it. 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. Everybody look this way. This is a hoary head. And everybody said, amen. And honor the face of the old man. Look this way. No, you don't have to. And fear thy God. I am the Lord. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. Don't mess with him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Here's the Old Testament commandment given in the book of Leviticus here to tell people and instruct them to actually love their neighbor. Now, that's all I'm doing here is illustrating to you that the book of Leviticus is not really off limits to those that don't understand. There's a lot of things in there that you can understand. I only gleaned a little out of Leviticus 19, that's all, and you're welcome to take a look through it. And we'll look at it together if you want, because sometimes people say that helps. Now let's go back to the River Jordan here, because I want to explain what happens. There are two interesting and significant things that take place, and we'll find them both back in the book of Leviticus here as an Old Testament foundation for what happened. All right? Everybody okay? All right. Now, in Bible times, they noticed Timothy being a staunch Christian. This is Brother Branham talking about the apostolic way, the way that was in the early church, okay? So this is just Brother Branham talking about the gifts and the ministry and so forth and going back there. And he said, now, they laid hands on Timothy in recognition of the gift that he'd had, and he'd go preach the gospel sent out by a witness of the brethren. And we still do that. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. But it's a good thing for us to, you know, ordain or bless young men that have a calling in their life. And they acknowledged that God was working in him to work together before God. They seen the gift working in this brother, and he was called for something, and it was a sanction. So you're not giving anyone a gift by laying hands on him, but you're sanctioning or you're acknowledging the fact that this is a gifted brother. And so someone has accused me, Brother Branham said, someone's accused me of being Jesus only. But he said, I cannot believe that water forgives sins. No, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ atones for sin. Now, watch what he says now. Your baptism, and you that have just been baptized, watch the board. Your baptism is your confession. You believe this inward work of grace has been done. So something's happened on the inside of me. And my water baptism in water is my confession that I believe something's happened on the inside. I believe I'm a son of God. To come into Christ, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit and born again. And the only thing that baptism does is a testimony that you believe that Christ died, rose on the third day, and you've accepted him as a personal Savior. And you are dead to the things of the world, showing the world that you'll raise with him in the resurrection. So, watch now. Water baptism is an outward expression that an inward work of grace has been done. Anybody believe that? Sure. It's the action that follows something taking place on the inside. So God stirs in a young person's heart or a person's heart, and they realize, you know, I gotta surrender my life. I gotta get in the pool. I gotta go through that commandment of being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an outward expression that an inward work of grace has been done. And if, and I inserted that word if, okay, just to complete the sentence here. That's my if, okay? Noah? If the only thing you had to do is say, well, go ahead and be baptized, then Jesus would not have had to die. But it takes death to bring life, always. So it's not water, the water itself, the water in this baptismal pool will not wash away your sins. It's the blood of Christ that washes away your sins, right? So it's not water, but water is a symbol of the grave. And so we go down in that grave and we're buried in it. And then we come out of the water in a symbol of resurrection to newness of life. Now, let's look at John's baptism, okay? And here's a couple of brief sentences here. Every person in the Bible was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but John's disciples wasn't. Because Jesus wasn't John's disciple wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized under repentance. So Jesus wasn't around when John started baptizing. So John did not baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Are we okay with that? I don't want to go on if there's questions here. There were some people baptized one time by John the Baptist, and they wasn't baptized in any name at all. They were baptized by the same man that baptized Jesus. So they were not baptized. John didn't baptize in his own name. He didn't baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't baptize in the name of William Branham. He baptized people for repentance of sin. That's all he did. Not remission of sin, but just repentance of sin. Now watch what happens. In He Cares, Do You Care? Now, not for controversy, but for the sake of truth, John was baptizing not for remission of sins. Remember now, what does that mean? That the water in the Jordan River did not wash away anyone's sins. I've been there in that place in Jordan where it's a place called Anon. And it's just a little turn in the river. And John baptized there. I baptized several people there in my time. And the water in the Jordan River doesn't wash away your sins at all. But John knew that because he was a forerunner of the Messiah, he had to baptize for repentance to prepare their hearts for the Messiah coming. He said, but John baptized not for remission, but under repentance, because the offering had not been made. There was no sacrifice. And the sacrifice come to him in the water. So you see how he refers to Jesus. The sacrifice stepped in the water. And Jesus said, suffer it to be so, John. And John, being a prophet, understood that was a sacrifice. According to the law, the sacrifice had to be washed. That's the reason he baptized him. So he came to John as a sacrifice, and according to the law, the sacrifice had to be washed. And that's the reason John baptized him in the river. Let me ask you, did Jesus have any sins to repent of? No. So he was not baptized like everyone else. The sacrifice, the same quote, the sacrifice which he was must be washed in the laver before presented for sacrifice. And Jesus was the sacrifice. John knew it and knew that he must be washed before presented. Then immediately afterwards, he was presented to the public for trial and was a sacrifice for all human life. So after his earthly ministry, and Herod examines him and says, I find no fault in him. He was an offering without blemish, right? Without fault. Now, all right, so back in this statement here, John knows the law. According to the law, last sentence, according to the law, the sacrifice had to be washed. Where is that? Leviticus chapter 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, remember now, we're dealing with ritual, priesthood, and purity. And this is part of the ritual. And God's very specific here. He gives Moses instructions. This is exactly what I want you to do with that animal. This is exactly how I want you to kill it. I want you to do this with the feathers, this with the innards, this with something else. And he says, the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Verse 9, but of his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. All of it was consumed. All of it was to be offered. All of it from the outside to the inside was affected by this offering, by this process. Now look, make the jump with me tonight. When you come to the altar, it should be voluntarily. It should be not, well, I'm going up because Titus has gone up, or I'm going up because Sister So-and-so has gone. That's not why we go to the altar at all. We go because individually, voluntarily, God's pulling on me and there's something going on the inside and I want to make a public profession that I surrender my life to Christ and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, He wants to wash you not just on the outside, but He wants to wash you all on the inside as well. He wants to reach right down on the inside and clean everything out. And that's why the inwards are washed. That word inwards is not just spleen, liver, gallbladder. It is also the emotions. You look at the Hebrew word, it's the emotions, it's the thought process, it's the feeling that a person has. everything about what goes on the inside. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost wants to deal with everything about you on the outside, how you look and how you dress and how you act and how you talk. But he also wants to talk about what goes on in your mind and in your heart and in your soul. He wants to talk about how you think and how you love and how you don't love. He wants to think about all of that. He wants you to think about those inner thoughts that you have that you think only you have and nobody else knows about. But I'm here tonight to assure you that God knows exactly what your thoughts are. And if you've got the wrong kind of thoughts, you've got dirty thoughts, you've got filthy thoughts, let me tell you, there's still a Holy Ghost with a big washcloth who wants to wash all that out. Amen. Because he's after your inwards. Amen. He is after your inwards. And he doesn't want you to take dirty inwards into the kingdom. Look at John. Look at John standing in the water, predicting the prophet, the Messiah, was right among them. He said, there's one standing among you now that you don't know. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So here's John standing there in the river predicting. And he was standing right among them, and they didn't recognize that one day Jesus come walking down, and John recognized him. Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Before he was recognized by anybody, he comes to the prophet. Why? Because the word comes to the prophet. My old Baptist teacher told me, and Brother Branham's old Baptist teacher had some really funny ideas. And it's probably a good thing Brother Branham left the church because he had some really wacky ideas. But anyway, this is what Brother Branham's former pastor said. You know what happened? Jesus baptized John. And Brother Branham said, I don't think so. He said, sure, John was never baptized, and he came preaching, baptizing. Nobody was ready to baptize him, so Jesus baptized him. And one day, while in study, the Holy Spirit revealed it like this. So this is Brother Branham speaking now. He walked out in the water. He said, why comest thou to me? I have need to be baptized of thee. And John, being a prophet, knowing the word, the sacrifice he was must be washed before presented. Then he was baptized. John baptized him because they had to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, if God said it, God laid it out this way in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament here in the sacrifice, then it had to be done exactly this way in the river. So understand that when God was writing all of this in the book of Leviticus, He knew already how this was going to come out on Calvary. He didn't hope. You understand what I'm saying? He knew exactly what was going to take place in the whole plan of redemption. He knew exactly what was going to take place at the River Jordan and why Jesus had to go down and says, John, relax. You know, we're fulfilling all righteousness. Everyone may not understand this at this moment, but let's go ahead and do this because we need to fulfill the Word of God. Because that's the most important thing, that the Word of God be fulfilled. Now watch this. Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So stop. Jesus is our high priest, right? Remember what a high priest primarily did. He was dressed, washed, dressed, anointed to go into the presence of God, intercede for the people, and come out alive. Right? That's what a high priest did. Very important position. And he was like an intercessor for the people. Very important position. He was like in the mediatorship. And so he had to be dressed a certain way, washed, anointed, all of that, and then go into the presence of God, make atonement for the people, sprinkle blood, turn around and go or back out and come out of the presence of God alive. And the fact that he came out alive was a sign to the people that God accepted his offering for sin. Had to do it every year, but nonetheless, the people, he came out. If he didn't come out, there would not be sufficient atonement for my sins. You know what? Our sins would be naked before God. Our sins would be obvious before God. But because he came out meant that God accepted the offering that he gave. Now, you can see how important a position it is. That's all I'm saying. Right? Are we okay? Now, again, Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest. we have a great high priest. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, as yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Stay with me now. I'm not going to be long, but watch this now. So if we're the people, in other words, let's say it this way. Back in the old day, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he went into the tabernacle, all the people were outside waiting to see if he came out. The going in part was not the big issue. Coming back out was the big issue, right? I mean, anyone could attempt to go in, but not everybody could go in and come back out. Because if you went in wrong, you were dead. I mean, deader than 4 o'clock. Deader than a service at 5 o'clock. I shouldn't have said that. Going in is not the problem. Coming out was the victory. Let's put it that way. The coming out was the victory. Jesus is our high priest. How many believe that? By this scripture, we know that Jesus is our high priest. He went in through death with his own blood, made an atonement, but hallelujah, he came out. Amen. He resurrected from the dead. Amen. That's the victory for us. If that's the case, this is not the blood of bulls and goats and rabbits and chickens and turtle doves. That's not it. It's the blood of God. Amen. Right? It was the blood of Christ that was shed there. And as a result of that, we have eternal redemption. Hello? Amen. Then therefore, Paul is saying in verse 6, let us come boldly into the throne of grace. He doesn't say let's come cocky. Sorry for using the word. He's not saying it that way, like I can come any way I want to and I can smoke and come up. No, you can't do that. But you are able. You have a right. You have. The devil can't keep you away. You have it written in the blood of Christ. He has forgiven me, and my sins are gone. They're gone. They're removed as far as the east is from the west. And I have a right to come to God on behalf of my child who's sick and ask for healing for my child. Amen. I have a right to pray for my family and ask that God would save them. As a parent, I have a right to do that. I have a right to come on behalf of the congregation and pray, God, I pray you do this for the congregation. And I have a right to obtain mercy in that case here because I know who my high priest is. And he was victorious on my behalf. And he said, because I go in, you don't have to go in. I paid the price for you and I've come out. The victory is that I came out and death can't hold me anymore. And because death can't hold me, it can't hold you because you know what? My life's in you. Hallelujah! Aren't you glad you came to church on Wednesday night?
Amen.
All right, now watch now. Here's Brother Branham saying that. Church Age Book. God came down in a blood cell, not through a man, but by the Holy Ghost. And in that virgin womb, a tabernacle for the purpose of death was built. God came down by the Holy Ghost. That blood cell was formed in that virgin womb. And as a result of that, a tabernacle for the purpose of death was built. God couldn't die as a spirit, so he had to come into a body. The seed of the woman came in order that he might be bruised to bring us salvation. Got it? When the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, he created within her womb the cell that would multiply and become the body of the Lord. Amazing thing. Beginning of the creation of God, and that's who Jesus is. He grew to be a man, went to Jordan, and there that sacrifice was washed of John in the river called Jordan. And when that acceptable sacrifice rose out of the water, God came and indwelt him, filling him with the Holy Spirit without measure. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. And when he died and shed his blood, the perfect life of God was liberated to come back upon the sinner who would accept Christ as his Savior. So, you young people that have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you accept the blood of Jesus Christ as an atonement for your sin, you know what? You have actually allowed, you have tripped the trigger, if you like, that allows the life of God to begin to grow inside of you and take you from an old creation to a new creation, to make a new man out of you, new woman out of you. And this is what he says. When he died and shed his blood, the perfect life of God was liberated to come back upon the sinner who would accept Christ as his Savior. All right. Hang with me just for a second here. They were the two most important people on the earth. John the prophet, Jesus the Messiah. And they had the message of the day, and they met face to face in the water. And John says, I have need to be baptized of thee. Now, I'm being repetitive. I've said this already. This is Brother Branham saying it again. Now, I just want to show you that from early in his ministry, right till the very end, Brother Branham teaches this. John said, I need to be baptized of thee. Jesus says, suffer it to be so, because the sacrifice, according to the law, had to be washed before it was presented. And Jesus had to be baptized before presented. The last line. And the lamb had to be washed in the laver before it was presented to the priest. So that's the first thing that Jesus was. He was a sacrifice for sin. But I want you to look at what Brother Branham says here. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. See, Aaron, the high priest, before he could ever be anointed, had to be washed with water. Therefore, when Jesus, before he could be anointed, our high priest, he was washed with water. All right, where does that come from? Guess where? Book of Leviticus. Now we're in Leviticus chapter 8. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. This is the thing that the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat, girded him with the girdle, clothed him with the robe, put the ephod upon him, girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him thereon. And describes that in great detail. He didn't get dressed before he was washed. He didn't get anointed before he was dressed. Hello? There was things that he had to go through in the process, but the first thing was the washing. What do we see in the first thing in Jesus' earthly ministry? He goes right down to the river, right down to John. John, a lot depends on me to getting washed in the water here. John says, no, I need to be baptized. No, he says, John, let's suffer it to be so that we fulfill all righteousness. And so John washes him, baptizes, immerses him in the water, comes right out, and immediately when he does, there's a voice that comes from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. He's anointed for service now. So in the New Testament now, it's not so much the garments and the Jesus never dressed up with the ephod and the curious girdle and the hat and the stones of the none of that. The outward trappings are not there, but he had to go through that washing, and he had to go through that baptism in the river, because this is what the law said: suffer it to be so that we fulfill all righteousness. Has everybody followed me? So he's walking according to the word here. He's not in there saying, well, I sinned against my brother, and I threw rocks and I shouldn't have, and I stole a goat from the neighbor, and he's not coming for sin because he's the sinless one. But he's coming because the righteousness of the word describes his role, and he's fulfilling that, and John the Baptist is the one who's in the position to baptize him and to wash him according to the commandments that are given. Then Jesus was baptized. The reason Jesus was baptized: if he claimed to be the Son of God, then be baptized for the remission of sins. He had none, but he had to be washed because he was the high priest. So not only was he a sacrifice, but he was also our high priest. Hey, only God can do that. Only God can do that. He can be our atonement, and he can be our attorney. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. He can be our advocate, right? He can be our attorney, but he can also be our judge. Hey, look, if the attorney and the judge are the same person and they're rooting for you, you're okay. You know what? You don't need to worry in court. If the judge and the attorney are the same person, you're all right. Yeah? You don't need to sweat anything. You know, you're going to come out all right.
And he was our advocate. He was our attorney. He was our judge. He was all of that. But he had to go through this. He had to be washed because he was the high priest. He had to fulfill all righteousness. And then I'll take the way of the Lord's despised few. It's becoming to me. Hold on. You see what he says here? He was the high priest. He had to fulfill all righteousness. Then I'll take the way of the Lord's despised few. I'll identify with that. He says, it's becoming to me, it's becoming to you as servants of God, that we can take the way with the Lord's despised few, that we walk godly, righteously, holy in this present life, laying aside every weight that does so easily beset us, looking to the author and finisher of our life. Hey, we've got a high priest, and that high priest is Jesus Christ. Amen. And not only is he our high priest, but he is also our judge. He's our king. He's our leader. He's our comforter. He's our Holy Spirit. He's our life. Why shouldn't we take the high road and walk in newness of life and walk in victory? Why should we be on the back foot, like Brother Andrew said? We should be on the front foot and like David running out there on the field to slay the Goliaths that are in your life. Why should we hold back? We should not hold back. We should be aggressive. We should be proactive. We should be applying the token in our lives. You know why? Because God gave that to us. And if God gave it to us, it ain't going to fail. It's going to work. It's the devil trying to hold you back. That's all that it is. It's the devil that's trying to hold you back. Look down on the bottom of the quote here. And Brother Branham says, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Your life is hid in Christ through Christ Jesus, and you arose again to eternal life, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you an heir to Branham Tabernacle? No, I'm an heir to all things, both seen, present, future, to everything. I'm an heir. Hallelujah. That means that I'm an heir in this life. I'm an heir. I'm an heir when it comes to everything that's present and I can see. But I'm also an heir to the things I cannot see. I'm an heir to the resurrection. I'm an heir to my place in glory. I'm an heir to my chair at the wedding supper of the Lamb. I'm an heir to my place in a new heavens and new earth. I'm an heir to everything that God has promised to the people of God. I'm an heir because He made it possible. He's my high priest. And so when I said that Jesus was not baptized in the river, I simply meant he was not baptized like everybody else who went to the river in repentance of their sins. But he had to go. He had to be baptized because he was fulfilling the requirements of the law. Let's stand to our feet. I hope you forgive me. I hope that explains things. I hope if there's any question, you always have the right and the privilege to ask me about it. Because I'm not above being asked. Neither am I perfect. Neither, well, I'll stop there. I'll tell you what, saints of God, I think we are blessed. I think we are blessed to know what we know, to have what we have. And to be able to sing praises to his name and to be able to have a revelation of that name and to know that we baptized correctly, not because we figured it out, but because the prophet came and restored the truth to us in this last day. And I'm so thankful for that. My hope is in the Lord. And from this day forward, from this day on, let's sing that this evening here. My hope is in the Lord. My trust is in him. And if everything I said tonight is true, that he became my high priest and he became the offering for my sin and fulfilled all the requirements to do that in the eyes of God and fulfill the requirements of a righteous God. And you know what? I'm free of my sins. My sins are gone. And we are blessed. And we are blessed. My hope is in the Lord from this time on. And nevermore, my hope is in the Lord forevermore. Standing within the presence of the Lord, in whom the wisdom of for whom the raging of the sea subsides, the living sacrifice, the only source of life, and my hope.
forevermore. Thank you, Jesus.
Tender mercies come with every rising sun
to meet the sinner at his broken.
That's us. That's us. Healing and forgiveness. And those who trust in him
will find their hearts at rest.
My hope is in the Lord from this time on forevermore.
My hope is in the Lord
forevermore. Sing that chorus again now. My hope is in the Lord.
My
shall return. Come with singing unto Zion, with everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return.
And come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head.
They shall
gladness and joy.
Gladness and joy.
And sorrow.
And sorrow
and mourning shall flee away.
Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return.
Come and sing ye unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Shall obtain gladness and joy,
and sorrow
and mourning shall flee away. Come and sing unto Zion. On the book of redemption, since I saw my name on the book, I have union with Christ my Redeemer. Since I saw my name on the book, oh, since I saw my name on the book of redemption, since I saw my name on the book. I saw my name on the book. I am one of the few. Yes, I'm one of the few. And by faith in God's word I can claim it. And though the way may seem long, though the opposition strong, provided if I plan to go through, just to hope will not do. I must be firmly decided to follow by obeying his word and believe that I'm one of the few. I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory.
Glory, Christ is mine.
Do I have any voice left?
I now retire. I have been redeemed.
the blood of the Lamb. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I am fit, redeemed.
Hey, it's Jesus on the main line. We got that? We got that song? Jesus on the main line? Tell him what you want. There you go. You got a microphone over there? Come on, buddy.
Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, his line ain't never busy. Tell him what you want.
Come on now.
His mind ain't never busy. Tell him what you want. His line ain't never busy. Tell him what you want. Come on up and tell him what you want. Well, call him up, tell him what you want. Oh, call him up, tell him what you want. Oh, call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. If you're feeling down and out, tell him what you want. If you're feeling down and out, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line.
Come on now, sing
him. Well, now, if you're sick and wanna get well, tell him what you want. If you're sick and wanna get well, tell him what you want. If you want to get well, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Well, it's Jesus on the main line. Oh, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Oh, tell him what you want.
Hallelujah! Glory! Oh, yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Now, this is a little odd. Aaron, come on up here. And I want all of your brothers to come on up here for a second. Because I don't know what it is, but my voice just ain't what it used to be. And I think the best thing I can do is call for you guys in the church, lay hands on me, and pray for me.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. I
sing now, I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Yes,
I need you, Lord. Right now.
Oh, I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. Right now.
I lift my head.
Just thank you for this wonderful service and atmosphere that you put us in, Lord. It's just been such a refreshing to just step away in the middle of the week, Lord, and just enter into your presence. Lord, I thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just take this word that we've heard this evening, Lord, and that you would just apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to bring it, Lord, into the week, Lord. Lord, we pray that as we go on, we would just be shining examples of your glory, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over Brother Barry and, Lord, just heal his voice completely, Lord. And, Lord, we ask that you would just watch over us, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sing this as you go tonight. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. It's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord.
Amazing grace. Shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do.
Chorus again now. I shall forever.
I shall.
Jesus died.